Welcome to Bedknobs Broomflicks, the podcast that talks about witches, man-witches, warlocks, sorcerers, and other magic practitioners in movies, television, comic books, books, and just about everything. We also talk about heroic and just plain awesome animals as our fair familiars and witches in history. And sorry, this show will include major spoilers to an end of the series, so you've definitely been warned. My name is Jane, and I will definitely be your dark godmother, but I will not be part of your thruple.
Yeah, I like that. That's where the line is drawn. My name is Linda, but as always, you can call me the Cheese. And this week, I'm the Cheese Directrix.
Good one.
Thank you.
Anyways, so this week we are obviously finishing up the last two episodes of the first season of Sabrina, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. So, and lots of stuff happens in these episodes. So we were talking about this earlier. It might be a two-parter. It might not, but there's a lot to get through. So we open up, where... Sabrina is obviously like running over to Harvey's place because, you know, again, Harvey's brother just like hulked out of the mine.
Tommy smash!
Yeah. And Sabrina's all like, and of course the person who's actually knocking at the doors at the end of the last episode is actually Sabrina trying to go check on Harvey, and Harvey's all like, oh, you know, my brother's back and everything's great except he's not talking or eating, but he's back. It's like
he's in shock.
Yes. Which, to be fair, yes, that's a possibility to be in that level of shock. I don't think incredibly hulking out of the mind though is part of the shock.
My notes were he's in shock, which is why he's not talking at all. It's certainly not because he's a motherfucking zombie. Yeah, Sabrina.
Well, I like how she's just sort of like, yeah, great. Fuck.
Yeah. Well, good to know it's going well.
Yeah, she leaves them with, risen brother. And, there's obviously the presence of doom in the atmosphere as, their father closes the door and she kind of gets a peek of Tommy and he's just... you know, staring off into the distance. So,
Yeah, this is the new Tommy now.
Yep, this is the new Tommy. But we got Tommy good knocker. Things. We got good things happening. You know, Ambrose is going to start school, you know, or start working at the school with Father Blackwood. So he's trying on his new outfits. And
looking snazzy.
And Zelda's still with Blackwood.
Yeah. So Daddy Blackwood, I'll call him Daddy B from now on. Daddy B and Aunt Zelda are still boning down in an S&M fashion. And Father Blackwood asks Zelda to be the unholy godmother to his twin boys because Constance ain't quite cutting the mustard.
Yeah.
And then she says that she'd be honored to be their night mother. And so I love that we get these new terms now, unholy godmother and night mother.
Yeah, I just like their conversation because, Father Blackwood kind of talks about how he misses the old days and, you know, monogamy is set down by like the false god and everything. Mm-hmm. And Zelda's kind of like dropping the hint going like, sometimes having a life partner that you can share stuff with.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it because her face just falls like so fucking hard when he says that, like, I miss the old days of polygamy. And it's like, I take it she does not want to be Constance's sister wife.
No, especially with Constance not knowing about all this. I think I wrote down like Blackwood creating his thruple without the second knowing at the moment. Yeah, no, she doesn't. Neither of them do. I mean, even Zelda's just sort of like, yeah, it's fun to have an affair, but she'd be the one who's like, and at some point you're going to divorce her, right? Right. Yes.
And then he starts talking about how she's not quite cutting the mustard, and then
Constance.
She's like,
not Zelda. Constance.
Yeah, yeah, Constance. And then Zelda's like, yep. And he's like, he offers her the Lady B's classes at the academy. So now she is the choir's interim directrix.
Mm-hmm. I think I actually wrote down Zelda is basically singing Moving On Up in her head right now.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of funny. Like, it's hard to tell whether she's in it for the power or because, like, she wants that body.
At this point, I'd argue it could be both.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna, I'm not going to reveal anything further, but I'm just saying it can be both.
I kind of got the feeling from previous episodes, especially the one with the harrowing, that, like, they may have had, like, a sort of fling or, like, a mutual attraction back in high school or the academy days, whatever.
When you also saw it when she was losing all of her hair when they were being punished, and he's like, oh, your fine features, and he pulls out some of her hair.
Yeah. Well,
not pulls, but, you know, just falls out into his hand and stuff. And
then he's like, ew.
So, yes, no, I do agree they probably had some sort of relationship at some point previous to this one.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that's a... it gets icky. It gets so icky. Guys, yes. Guys, it gets so icky. You have no idea what you're in for, Linda. You have no fucking idea what you're
in
for.
I'm looking forward to it.
You're laughing at this now, but I'm like, oh, no, it's going to get bad.
Yay. Oh, okay, so... and the next thing, like, Susie's talking to
Dorothea.
Dorothea about doing something that would totally get her in trouble with her dad. And, she says, like, I can't believe I did that. And, like, but not in the, like, oh God, I can't believe I did that. But, like that was so, like, amazing type of way. And I want to know what she did that would have gotten her in trouble. Is she talking about, like, going into the mines? Like, was that, did that give her, like, a rush, or did she do something, like, did Dorothea like, kind of lead her to do something else?
Dorothea is such a weird character. I don't know how to you know, talk about Dorothea too much without giving away some stuff, but I don't know, like, I want to believe it's just about the mines. And then she's just excited about that. But at the same time, she acts like it's something that nobody else knew about. So either her dad wasn't around when that happened. And it didn't seem like her dad was, because he didn't suddenly rush and say, like, hey, where the hell is my daughter? When, you know, they're at the mines and everything. So it's possible that nobody told him after she came out, because, you know, everybody's, you know, at that time realizing the horrible tragedy that, you know, it's just been discovered. But same time, I don't know. No. I have no ideas. It could be her thinking that, you know, it could be like maybe she, you know, did something that's more identifying to the gender that she is clearly kind of drifting towards. Mm. Not trying to give away too much there either. God damn it. But well, yeah.
She's like talking about it like two giddy schoolgirls and like a slumber party would say, like, would talk about like kissing one of their classmates and like, oh my God, my dad knew, I'd be in so much trouble.
Yeah, I have no idea, and it's never explained. So whatever she's talking about, like, Dorothea, it's a big question mark.
She did something naughty and she's like getting a rush from it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of cute. Like,
it is. Well, because she seems so downtrodden half the time, and so like such a pushover in the very beginning.
It's nice to see her kind of like progressively becoming like more and more alive and comfortable.
Yeah. Oh, and before we leave too much, I did like in the very beginning when you get just before, like, when you get the voiceover of like Susie like giggling and laughing, the first thing you see is the well where the demon body is. I can never forget that fucking well when they just dump the demon body without anybody else knowing. She's like, yep, that's where it goes. There's their well. I'm like, oh my God.
Oh my God. Can you imagine like making any stews, soups, whatever, boiling anything? Tea or whatever, serving water. Like, no, thanks. I'm good.
Turns out the demon tastes like oregano. And everything's fine.
It's a tasty demon. Maybe it's like one of those spice worms. Like, from Dune.
Dune?
It's a spicy sandworm.
Well, and you've also got, just before you go to Susie, you've got all of the kids at the school gathering for their prayers in their, you know, co-ed sleeping quarters.
Unholy prayers?
Or... Yes, whatever their unholy prayers. And Agatha starts coughing up dirt.
Oh.
Yeah. And Nick Cullen pulls what I call the Edward Cullen. Nick pulls an Edward Cullen. And basically, while Sabrina's coming out of the bathroom in a robe, he's staying in the corner. And I'm just like, oh, for the love of God. Yeah, he's astral projecting, though.
Salem starts hissing, and she's like, Salem, what's wrong with you? And he's like, he probably doesn't like me. Something like that. Doesn't like strangers.
Well, and again, we're still getting like voices of reason, like Ambrose a little bit earlier when Sabrina comes back and, you know, Ambrose is kind of like, so, Tommy, ? He's like, yeah, he's fine. He's fine. He's just, after he starts, you know, talking and drinking and he's like, or eating. And he's like, yes. He's not eating. He's and not she's eating. Like, yeah, it's fine. It's shock. Yeah. He's like, uh-huh.
She is in such denial. And like, it's kind of goes back to her thinking that she always has like the moral high ground and like thinking like, well, this is, and she's kind of been spoiled up to this point with, kind of like thinking that she's always going to get her way.
Yes.
And that it's just like why Ambrose was chiding her in the previous episode. Like, you know, you can't always expect to find like loopholes with the universe and expect the universe to bend its rules for you.
Yeah. It's, well, I also like that now even like Nick is trying to call her out on that.
Yes.
It's like, really, where were you the last couple days?
It's basically like, everybody, and I love it.
Yep. Well, and I just, and of course, like the next morning, because like, of course, Hilda and Zelda have absolutely no idea what's going on. And so they're all sitting at the table and Zelda's being cold to Hilda, of course. And Ambrose is getting ready to go soon. And Zelda's saying, like, ah, finally, the three of us are going to bring, you know, the Spellman name back into good graces and whatever. I'm just and like Ambrose gives like Sabrina the hardest side eye I've ever seen.
And Auntie Zelda's reading like
a Japanese newspaper.
Yes, I could tell if it's Japanese or Korean or like
it's Japanese. I saw some hiragana mixed in there from the distance. Yeah, I was like, huh. I have no idea why, but whatever. Hey, she speaks Japanese.
She has
cool.
layers, and I love it.
Oh, she has a lot of layers in this episode. This episode gets really good.
Oh, my God, yes. Like, I am, like, I know you've been talking about it for a while, like, about how I'm just going to love how they develop her character. And I do. Oh, my God. Like, she's really, 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 like, showing her true colors.
Mm-hmm.
Like, slowly. And... oh, yeah. I mean, we'll get to that. But this is a very, I think this is a great episode where she really gets to shine.
Yes. Okay. So, yes. And going on. So, Sabrina obviously is, you know, she goes to school and she, I like how she can somehow, because like Roz is, you know, saying like, hey, I heard Tommy's back. And, you know, like the news travels fast in a small town. And Sabrina's like, kind of like, in a way discusses her witch concerns with Roz without revealing she's a witch by saying like, hey, can't you use that thing your grandmother said to see if anything's wrong with Tommy? Because I totally believe what you're talking about. I just can't talk about what my problem is.
Oh, and we should say that she's after Nick came to tell her that like,
Agatha's
really not doing well, which she could give less of a crap about.
Yeah.
And he's also telling her about the possibility of Tommy's resurrection going south. And she sends Salem to go check in on, like, keep an eye on Tommy.
Yeah. And you get, like, some images of Tommy just kind of, like, scratching at a mirror, like, with his, like, little finger. And that's what Salem's kind of watching as this... Yeah, Tommy not doing well. Tommy yeah. not doing well is basically what Salem comes back to report. Tommy bad. Tommy not
Tommy
well.
Not good.
Mow, 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 mow.
Yes, mow. Super bad Tommy now.
Mow, idiot, mow.
He was in bits and bits and bits. But, oh, and... I don't know if this is the time where we should talk about, going off of what you were saying about, like, with Roz. Yeah. Cause Roz told her, told Sabrina that she had a dream of dogs tearing up Tommy's body.
Yeah. That's what led Sabrina to kind of discuss her witch concerns, is cause Roz had that weird dream. So yeah. So yeah. She's like, oh yeah, no, totally. It's your premonition that's making you think this. So, why don't we use your powers?
Yeah. So, and then she tries telling her, like, I don't think I can control the cunning. And she's like, well, it worked when you touched Tommy's helmet. Why don't we just, like, try to get you close to touch Tommy, basically. And Tommy doesn't like it. But then also Susie... goes to Cerberus's, was it Dr.
Bookstore.
Cerberus's
Dr. Cerberus
bookstore?
Yeah, and the little cafe they all hang out at. Yeah.
Yeah, where Auntie Hilda is working as a barista. And she's trying to steal a book. And two of the biggest varsity bully assholes start giving her shit there, and they're like, oh, what do you have under your shirt? It's certainly not boobs. Because, you know, they're fucking hilarious.
Yeah. They're assholes. They're total chode assholes. And then, Hilda comes up.
Dude, Hilda is like giving, just like in the embodiment of, like, every high school, every person who's been picked on in high school, like, she is giving them the fantasy.
Oh, yeah. Well, because not only is she, because she doesn't, like, you know, obviously beat up the kids, but she reveals, like, you know, probably a very painful moment for this kid who's bullying Susie. Yeah. And very traumatic because, you know, she basically says to... Billy, who's the bully, that, you know, it's awful what happened to you back when you were 11 and nobody believed you and everything. And but there's no reason to pick on Susie. And then she also stopped going, like, and also your friend is totally crushing on you, basically. The
guy that she was also your pal is in lust with you.
Yes.
And he's just looking at her like, no, I'm not. Like,
and they both,
I'm not gay.
Yeah, and they both leave. So
yeah, I love it because she says, and don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Well, and then she even, like, offers to, like, treat Susie when she sees that Susie's trying to, like, shoplift a book, which is, I don't, because, like, the shoplifting thing, because it's not like she's trying to steal,
Orlando,
yes.
By Virginia Woolf.
Yeah, which Hilda says, she could throw a party.
Yeah, she says Jenny Woolf. Yeah. Like, there's someone who could throw a dinner party. But I looked up Orlando. I still haven't read it. But basically, there's a character in there, the title character Orlando. And in the story, they keep switching genders.
Ah, okay.
And there was a film adaptation by Sally Potter, and it was it's from 1992, but it had Tilda Swinton in it, and I was like, how fucking perfect!
Yeah,
fucking perfect.
Like, yep, that makes sense. Oh, we should also not skip over this with Ambrose and Me with Father Blackwood.
Oh God, yeah, no, yeah, I definitely have that in my notes.
Okay, yeah, because we're kind of jumping all over the place. I figured we could just jump all over the episode. So, because you've got Ambrose.
I just wanted to point out that, like, Susie, she's, I think the reason why her being so giddy about being naughty is because, like, she's spent, like, most of her life kind of suppressing who she is because she wants to be the good girl.
She's conforming to a particular ideal that everybody, she feels everybody mm-hmm. wants her to be.
And yeah, and that's why, I think that's why she runs away. She doesn't say, like, oh, you'll treat me to the book? Thank you so much. But, like, she's, and even, oh gosh, I'm trying to decide if, like, I want to bring it up later. I'll talk about it later, but there's a point later where you could tell that she's also thinking, like, oh my God, nobody knows my secret, do they? And she's, like, so afraid to just to be herself.
Her. Yeah.
And just and be like whoever she wants to be, that she's just, like, kind of slowly coming out of her shell, and Dorothea is kind of, like, helping her get there. And I felt like with the Orlando book, it's like, oh, like, she's, like, of all books that, like, she would steal, like, I thought it was going to be something about, like maybe that Dorothea was, like, a mischievous sort of spirit.
Yeah, she's just making her shoplift.
Yeah, and
that's why,
like,
that whole conversation didn't make sense, and why I don't know what it is she's doing that's so bad. That's why I figure it may just have to do with the mind,
yeah.
Because the thing she's trying to shoplift is obviously, as you pointed out, a book that I'm not saying,
like, has a gender bending sort of character.
Yeah,
yeah, and like a character that's kind of like, I don't know, where I feel like Virginia Woolf was having fun with, like, the bouncing back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
But and it's also a satire, but it's, like, I don't know. So I think it says a lot about, you know, with her trying to shoplift that book. Because I thought it was going to be something like an occult book or something. But no.
I mean, it could have been something as simple as, like, a sex ed book at this point. Because,
yeah,
like, a more progressive sex ed book that, you know, because Dr. Cerberus is cool, and he'd keep books like that.
He'd
never ban any books.
And we'll definitely get into that, too, later.
Oh, yeah, no, Dr. Cerberus is, he's fun. But yes, to go back to Ambrose real quick, because lots of stuff happening.
Yeah,
so, because, oh, no, it's okay. I mean, hey, I figured we could just jump through the episode. But so Ambrose is obviously meeting with Father Blackwood, and Luke sitting next to him, and Father Blackwood is giving his speech about rebuilding the Brotherhood.
Yeah.
And that's all I'm going to say about that. But I'm just going to say that rebuilding the Brotherhood is code.
I have thoughts about that.
Yeah. So
the next episode, I think.
Yes.
Next Sabrina episode, not. Maybe not our next episode. Sorry.
Yeah. But he also gives him a cute little familiar, because Ambrose hasn't been allowed a familiar because of his lockdown. He gives him a cute little mouse named Leviathan.
Yeah. He says because he was denied a familiar, quote unquote, for far too long. And he says it's a goblin of the highest pedigree.
Mm-hmm. It's like a little tiny field mouse. It's adorable. It's a cute little mouse.
It is adorable.
And then Father Ambrose leaves them, and Luke and him start to try to get down.
You have to say, because, like, you can't forget the part where, like, Daddy B says he gives him and Lucas the room to, quote unquote, spread out.
Yes. Yes. Well, and then they get cock blocked by Prudence, Dorcas, and Nick.
Yes.
Like, because they got, like, pants down and everything, and they're like, where's my father? Well, Prudence says that, obviously. And they're just, it's like, we don't care what you're doing here.
Kind of like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, getting down.
Yeah. But, you know, it's because obviously they're concerned about Agatha, who's still, you know, coughing up everything. So,
I mean, it worked out pretty well because, you know, Ambrose said he'll talk to someone who knows about it, which is obviously Aunt Hilda.
Yeah. And Hilda basically, which gives him, gives her the remedy for Alka-Seltzer.
Yeah, she says she has to balance out the elements because it's like
it's more dirt, less water, or something.
Yes, she said she resurfaced too quickly, and it's like the bends when you come to the surface when diving too quickly. So they have to balance out the elements. So have some fizzy water for air and water and cayenne for fire. Three times a day with love.
Yes. Give it to her with love. As Prunus is like, that's it? She's like, well, you give it to her with love, right, dear? And of course, Ambrose is like, you seriously just fucking gave her the basic equivalent of Alka-Seltzer. And it's because like Hill is like, yeah, no, because this girl is fucked up and what the hell's happening? So.
Yeah. She's like, it's going to keep them busy, right? So tell me what the hell's really happening.
Yeah. And I do. So while they're, you know, Ambrose is obviously spilling Sabrina's secret to Hilda, you go back. Oh, and something else I think Roz had mentioned is that she starts to hear a baby crying while she watches Tommy get torn apart in her dream. So that's slightly important. Yeah, when she touches like Tommy, she gets the chance to touch Tommy just a little bit. And she hears like a baby crying and she sees a demon type thing and has the voice of Sabrina says like, Roz, Roz. And then she wakes up.
Yeah, it's like old corpse Sabrina with a noose around her neck.
Yeah, it obviously freaks Roz out. And Harvey's dad comes home because Harvey's with them, obviously, and Harvey's dad comes home and kicks the girls out and tells them to leave. And
because you think they think they can help more than Dr. Phoebes or Phibes?
Yeah. That's whatever. Yeah, the doctor who checked him out.
Yeah.
And I just like how God, Sabrina. So, you know, like, because Roz only says, like, hey, like, I saw Tommy and I heard a baby crying. And that's all she says. She doesn't talk about, like, demon dead Sabrina that she saw.
Oh, yeah. She's like, yep, that's all there was.
Yeah. And Sabrina gets indignant. She's like, Roz, are you keeping a secret from me? Like, fucking hell.
Yeah. She's like, are you sure that's everything?
Yeah. I said you're keeping stuff from me. Are you sure? It's like, God damn it.
Well, before we move on, I also want to say that Aunt Hilda told Ambrose that the earth is owed a body, that Agatha shouldn't have been resurrected in the first place. And then she asks, what was she doing being buried in the cane pit? And that's when he spills the beans. So,
yes.
Yeah, we know that, like, this is simply because, you know, Sabrina's being selfish. Like,
you have to balance out the universe, basically.
Yeah, she, like, by bringing Tommy back, she's cheating the universe out of a death.
Mm-hmm. Which is interesting because I'm always, it makes me wonder about, the only thing that brings Hilda back is the fact that the universe isn't ready for Hilda, basically. Or it's just like, no, it's not your time. Zelda just gets to kill you over and over again. So,
yeah.
But yeah,
what the hell, man?
Oh, and also just after this, when Sabrina and Roz are talking, Susie's talking to Dorothea and, she's explaining the weird thing with Hilda and mentions the last name Spellman. And Dorothea is basically like, oh, are they still witches? Like in this offhanded way, going like, oh, they're still witches. Yeah, you know they're witches, right? Duh. Yeah. Would you pay attention? Yeah. And Susie's like, huh?
Huh?
Well, to be fair, she's talking to the ghost of her dead ancestors, so I'm pretty sure she's willing to buy into the, they be witches.
Yeah, and that she kind of brings that up later too. It so it's a lot of shit's going on, and I mean
the choir,
choir. Like I don't. Oh my god, they're singing.
A dear favorite.
Yeah, which is like sang by Maria, right, in the Maria Von Sound Trapp of Music.
Sound like Julie Andrews, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, who was a, the character was a nun, or she was about to take the, I can't remember how that was.
The vows.
I never watched it.
I have, I'll be honest, I am a huge musical theater fan. I cannot fucking stand The Sound of Music. It is just, it is too long and too fucking saccharine. I am sorry.
So but Good some Omens musicals, had it right.
There are, what'd you say?
Good Omens had it right.
Yeah.
The Seraphil.
It is so goddamn saccharine. And just again, it's just way too long. I've never been able to sit through that whole thing. And I'm sorry if you're a huge fan. And it's, I always say, like, I'm not a fan of that. I think Julie Andrews is lovely. I will listen to her sing all the music from it because I think her voice is lovely. But at the same time, it's like, no, I can't sit through that. I can barely sit through most of the songs, even if Julie Andrews singing it. I'll never sit through the Von Trapp kids singing it.
I just love that Zelda has as the new directrix. I keep wanting to call her Dominatrix, but as the new directrix, she has the kids singing this in the choir, and Daddy B is there watching it all, and she's kind of looking at him like, isn't this great? See, I'm so much better than your wife type of thing. And he's kind of like, yeah, that's nice. And I kept waiting for, like, okay, when are the dark satanic lyrics coming up?
It's like, nope, it's the exact same lyrics as Do-Re-Mi.
The character of Maria von Trapp was, like, about to take her vows as a nun. So it's like,
well, she's teaching the kids how to sing, which my understanding, music professionals can correct me, my understanding is it is actually one of the better songs to sing to both work on your vocal cords, but also to, it's like one of probably the best warm-up songs you could also sing. So maybe they just never wrote satanic lyrics to it. And they're just like, well, to be fair, the harmony works. Everything rhymes. We're good.
Do a demon, a female demon.
Yeah, but you lose the syllable count there. So... Because you got deer, but you got demons, you got two, it takes a while to rewrite lyrics. But anyways, so they're singing and Agatha comes in looking like a corpse, which she basically is a living corpse. As Father Blackwood calls it out because she collapses and Father Blackwood says, why is Agatha a living corpse? And and Prudence and Dorcas and Nick are all there and they're just like, and Zelda is horrified. Like,
Sabrina did it.
Yeah, and Zelda's obviously horrified, and Blackwood's like, I'm gonna go take care of this, I'm gonna go kill the mortal boy so that, you know, Agatha can get better, and Zelda's like, no, let me fix this, I can make this better, and then all hell breaks loose at the Spellman residence. Well, at the same time, I will point out that even a drunk recognizes that is not his son, because there was a brief scene where Harvey and Tommy and his dad are, you know, sitting in their house and Harvey's dad comes in, you know, drunk, but even's like, that's not my son. And I'm like, you know, it says a lot when even a very, very intoxicated man can recognize that something is really off.
And he calls him a zombie. Mm-hmm. While they have like a zombie movie playing in the background. But he's just like, that's not my son. That's a zombie. And oh my God, it was kind of sad and I don't know, kind of, but also in a dark way made me chuckle when he's saying that he, God, yes. Okay. So, Harvey says that he tells his dad, or no, he says, when Sabrina brings over Roz, Harvey says that his dad is at the pub and he says, what was he say? And Tommy's there. And at first I was like, wait, Tommy's in the pub? What? But then, But so that was the part that made me chuckle. I was like, Tommy's in the okay. But then the part that was kind of sad is he's just like, but I don't know why. I mean, I told him his son is back. And I'm like, oh, honey, like, yeah. That's not really how drinking works sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, it clearly wasn't that the way it worked when Tommy was still alive and very active. Yeah. So it's not how it's going to work there. So,
yeah, it's kind of. Like, I don't know why you're depressed. You have such a great life and type of thing, you know?
Well, it gets worse because Harvey's dad is going at, you know, Tom not being his kid. And then Tommy lashes and tries to kill and tries to kill Harvey's dad. And
yeah, because Harvey's dad, like, I think he's getting aggressive with Harvey.
Yeah. So it's so sad because it's clearly giving Harvey hope. Cause, and he even tells Sabrina this. It's like, well, my dad attacked me. My dad attacked me and Tommy was defending me. And it's like later on in the episode. Yeah. And it's like, oh, sweetie. I just want to give you a big hug right now because... Oh, God.
And that's, like, also heartbreaking, too, because, yeah, he's, like, Tommy, like, he showed before, he shows Sabrina, he throws a football at Tommy, like, Zombie Tommy's face, Zombie Tommy catches it, and he doesn't even look at it, he just catches it automatically, so we see that he's just working purely on reflex, and protecting his baby brother was a reflex.
Yeah, it gets so depressing. And you've got, and then at the same time, concurrently, Zelda is chewing into Sabrina, who's just come home.
Oh, I love this.
Oh, yes. Do you want to do this one because you love it so much? Because I have a lot of things to talk about too here, but I think you'll do a better job explaining this scene.
Well, I don't know about that, but I give it a shot. Yeah, Sabrina and Zelda just have it out because now Hilda and Zelda both know, and so it's out in the open, like what Sabrina did. And Zelda tells her, like, you know, you murdered a witch. And Sabrina's like, only for a few minutes. Like, fuck, Sabrina. Like, it doesn't work that way. You fucking murdered her. Like, it's like being kind of pregnant. Like, no, like you're pregnant or you're not. You're a murderer or you're not, you know? And Sabrina tries to say that, like, once again, she's got the moral high ground in her opinion. So she's like, no, I'm doing what's right. I'm trying to bring it back balance because the... Tommy's the one that shouldn't have died because, you know, he's the one who, or the witches upset the balance by killing Tommy. And, like, he's not supposed to be dead. And now he's stuck in limbo. Limbo.
We should probably talk about the limbo thing because.
Yeah. You want to do that?
Kind of pause. Yeah. Because she goes and talks to Miss Wardwell. Well, she tries to return a book. And Miss Wardwell comes in and she's like, Sabrina, are you trying to steal one of my occult books? And she's like, because you could have just asked. And
borrow it.
Yeah. And you know, she goes and talks to Miss Wardwell about like what's going on and what Roz hears is a crying baby. And it's like, oh, well, Tommy's in limbo, of course, because that's where all the unbaptized babies go. He's stuck in between. It's like, we're going with that myth. It's like mortal
unbaptized babies and people who were killed before their time.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's mortal, there's the mortal afterlife and then there's the witch afterlife. So, or the witch limbo and mortal limbo. And Tommy's obviously in mortal limbo. So.
And we will be going a little deeper into that
Literally. Yeah, but that's what she's yelling at Zelda, saying, like, I just need to go to Limbo, get Tommy's soul back, put it in his body, and everything will be okay. And
yeah, and once again, she's acting like, everything's going to be fine. Like, I can bend the rules. It's okay. Because she's saying, like, it's totally fine. It's mortal Limbo, but I'm half mortal, so it's okay. And she's saying it in that, like, tone, too. Like,
yeah.
Like, why aren't you getting this type of thing? And so she tries to tell Zelda that she's doing what's right. And, and things get heated, and basically Aunt Hilda's like, actually, you know, once again, she is like, we have three episodes in a row where people are giving her the kick in the ass that she really needs and trying to give her the wake up that she needs. And, you know, Aunt Z's basically saying this, like, no, you're not supposed to be a murderer. You're not, you know, like, you don't do shit like this. This is stupid. And anyway, well, so and, Sabrina. Uh-huh.
Well, and also that, like, one thing that I think Zelda says that's, I think a really great line is, did Harvey ask you to do this?
Yes, exactly. It's like, and I'm going to get to that.
Okay, good. That was like probably one of my favorite lines of laying into her.
Yes, this is, yeah, it's most definitely my favorite part. Because so Sabrina gets so pissed that she tells Aunt Zelda that she says, you're not my mother and you can't tell me what to do. And Aunt Hilda's like, oh, hell no. Yeah. She says, oi, you don't talk to your aunt that way. And like, and it's another, like, it's very heated. But at the same time, it's like, oh, my God, that is so sweet. Because you get to see Aunt Hilda stick up for Zelda and, like, for her sister.
Well, because you keep killing her. You see the hurt in Zelda's face when Sabrina says that. Like, she's still maintaining a lot of that veneer of I am strong and I will not break or show emotion, but you can see it startles her. So
yeah, and it's so sweet to see, like, she keeps killing Hilda over and over again. But Hilda's like coming to her rescue and she's like, no, you don't talk to my sister that way. You don't do that. And so anyway, Zelda pretty much says, go ahead and find out the hard way. But, like, you know, she's saying, no, she's right. I'm not her mother. And it's time that she learns what the real world or the real realms are like. Just like her father and just like me, she has to learn for herself that, you know, the realms, you know, it's they're much harder in reality, and it's the world is harsh. And but this is fantastic. So she pretty much says, go ahead and find out the hard way, but stop acting like it's not for selfish reasons. And that was the line that did it for me, because, like, yeah, she's like, well, you know, did Harvey ask you to do this? It's like, well, no, but just like, so
and
stop
even Zelda
acting.
Says, like, look, Harvey probably wouldn't have asked you to do this insane thing for him, even if he knew you could. Because, yeah, yes. It's and she keeps saying that Harvey was suffering. And I'm just like, oh, for the love of God, like, nobody should lose a family member, especially a brother or a child. It's losing anybody in your life is hard. But that's what I just wanted to scream at her, going, like, suffering is fucking part of life. And
exactly.
You have to work your way through it. And it sucks. And it's horrible. And she just can't get, she's like, no, he's suffering. He's suffering. He's like, yeah. And you know what? Every day you wake up, and she even says, like, every day you just wake up and you get better. Like, and that's later on in a conversation that Zelda has with Sabrina, which I won't get into too much. But yeah, it was one of those things where it's like, yes, that's how it works. And of course, later on, again, it's, you know, because you've got, because Sabrina goes off to, because, you know, everybody's saying, like, nobody will help you. Nobody's on your side. And Sabrina's Miss Wardwell will. Like,
so Zelda gets pissed and she's like, no, let her find out. Let her find out that the world is painful and, you know, this is all part of life and whatever. And so she storms off. And then Aunt Hilda pretty much looks at her like, you done fucked up. You know, you could tell that Aunt Hilda's pissed because she did this stupid thing and because she just pretty much just like broke Zelda's heart. And so she storms off like after Zelda, and then it's just Ambrose and Sabrina, and Ambrose tells her no one's going to help her. And she says, well, I know somebody who will. Yeah.
Yeah. And of course she goes to Miss Wardwell because nobody's going to help her because she needs help to make sure she can get back from the other portal. Which, yeah, it's, I do like, cause right, like there's a lot of stuff. Cause like right after, Sabrina leaves, there's this, again, a really heartbreaking scene with, Zelda thinking that maybe Hilda and Zelda made a mistake taking Sabrina in and that she should have been raised by, her mother's parents. And she's crying. She's upset. She's whipping herself. She's giving herself penance, but at the same time, and Hilda stops her. And, you know, it's, again, this is the mask that's being dropped from Zelda, which I've always, that's why I loved her character building, is like, she just seems like such a bitch in the very beginning and just a killjoy, but it's like, oh no, like this
that's
is
just a facade. Yeah.
Yeah. It's she has to put this on because she's scared and she loves her niece and she wants the best for her.
And now she's kind of like the matron of the family.
Yes.
And she kind of, you know, now that Edward's gone, she's the head of the family, and it's like she takes the responsibility of maintaining the family upon herself. And that's why, like, she's, you know, earlier she was confessing to Daddy B because she's like, I have no control over Sabrina, and I can't believe that, you know, Hilda brought shame upon her family, and Sabrina's brought shame upon her family, and
Ambrose is still stuck in prison in his own way.
And so she's just like, I failed this family, and in this, like, you really get to see that a lot, and she's saying that it's my fault because I shouldn't have been so basically saying she shouldn't have been so cocky and thinking that she could handle taking in Sabrina.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and it's sad because also I think that there are a lot of mothers and adopted mothers who, and, you know, and fathers who feel that way. You know, and character, like, guardians, I should say, like, I'm sure that, like, there are moments where people feel like I shouldn't have been a parent. I shouldn't have been a guardian. Like, I'm not cut out for this. I can't handle it. And, you know, she's just saying that basically in this, she's saying, like, not so much that, like, oh, I can't believe that Sabrina messed up like this, but she's saying, like, I can't believe I let it get to this.
Yes.
And I should have said no to her. I can't say no to Sabrina. And Auntie Hilda's like, you said no to her plenty of times. Like,
she just doesn't listen.
You.
She doesn't care. She's a freaking teenager.
Exactly. Exactly.
She's a more well-behaved teenager than other teenagers I knew, but she's still a teenager who's F's up. And you have a teenager now who has magical powers, so it gives her more opportunity to really F up. So.
And I still, like, I still feel like I should be apologizing to my mom for being that age.
You mean the age you are now or as younger?
No, being Sabrina's age.
I know.
Just like, I don't know. Like, I feel like, you know, teenage daughters especially. Oh, Jesus. Like, I don't know how people live through it. Well, I don't know.
I'll let you know if I end up having a daughter second. So yeah,
thoughts and prayers.
Well, I'm gonna have a teenage son someday. So yeah,
oh yeah,
that's gonna happen. But yeah, so yeah, we leave that heartbreaking scene and we move over to a short little Dorcas and Prudence scene, which
yes.
they're walking up to Harvey's house because they're going to go take care of Tommy because, you know, they don't believe Zelda's going to take care of it. And they're going
Father Blackwood sent them. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, Father Blackwood doesn't trust them. So she's going to go make her dad proud. And Nick freezes them in place like, nope.
Yes!
Sabrina has to do this and they're stuck.
He used a trick out of Warlock, the movie Warlock, which we will be covering. It has Julian Sands in it and Richard E. Grant. I fucking love it. But yeah, he puts spikes in their, like in Warlock it was nails, but in this it's iron spikes in their footsteps in the grass.
So now they're stuck to the grass outside of Harvey's house, which I just wanted to bring that up because later on it just gets even better. But yeah, so
yes!
I know. So Sabrina and Miss Wardwell go to the portal that will basically an opening where they can open a portal to let Sabrina into moral limbo. And she ties a red string around Sabrina's wrist so she doesn't lose her and says, like, oh, by the way, look out for these things called soul eaters because they're bad. And then well, I think it's funny because, like, they use the incantation, they open the portal. And if you look behind Sabrina's shoulder, Miss Wardwell's just, like, grinning and laughing. And I'm just like, uh-huh. And then Sabrina turns back around. She's like, serious face. Uh-huh. Yeah. I'd be very careful. She was like, ha, 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 ha.
She is very much like the cartoon villain sometimes.
She is so
great. I love it.
I love her character.
Yeah, me too.
So,
and
yeah,
the actress. Fucking phenomenal.
Sabrina goes into the portal and she finds a couple people. She obviously hears all the crying babies and she sees all the shadow things and she can hear the soul eaters and she ends up finding her mother in limbo. And you know, she says, like, no, like, and it's a really weird conversation because she says, because her mother says, like, who are you? And she goes, like, Mom, it's me, Sabrina, your daughter. She's like, no, my daughter's a baby. Like, we baptized her and then they took her away. And so lots of questions. We don't get any answers. And Sabrina's mother just tells her to run because the soul eaters are coming.
Yeah, she actually says, save yourself, which I kind of chuckled off of because it's like, I don't know. It's just like, I'm going to run away while you're in danger. Like, save yourself.
Yeah, well, Sabrina ends up finding Tommy and does not get out with Tommy's whole body or whole soul. A soul eater gets Tommy.
Oh, yeah.
And leaves his arm to then disappear and fade. So it just...
I was hoping she'd be holding his arm.
Like, the whole time, just like, one arm.
Yeah.
I got a part of his soul. How much of his soul was in his, like, you know, his forearm and some of his fingers and maybe an elbow and that
she can
part.
Use it to wave at Harvey.
I came back with something. Only his arm has a soul. But yeah, Miss Wardwell's like, I think a soul, but in the most like nonchalant way, she's like, I think he got eaten by a soul eater. So you now know what you need to do, which
we should say that certainly appears that Miss Wardwell closed the portal while they were in there, while like they were being chased by the soul eater, because Sabrina and the yarn
snaps or breaks, yeah, or loose, yeah.
Yeah, and so Sabrina has to take the time to reopen it.
Mm-hmm. And loses. So, and Miss Wardwell basically says, like, look, at this point, you just have to take care of Tommy or else, you know, nothing's going to go well. And at the same time, Roz and Susie are meeting and they both kind of discuss their feelings that Sabrina is a witch. Well, Roz basically is like, I think Sabrina's a witch. And Susie's like, that's what my great aunt Dorothea told me. And it's like, wait, what? Which Roz should have had a lot of other questions there, but yes.
Well, no, she tells her that, Or she said, no, I read it in my...
you read Dorothea's diary. Sorry, yeah. But it's... Yeah. You know, they're sort of like that. We were so like, they're like, how did you find out about this? It's like, oh, I read it in the diary. It's like, aha.
But then that's what I was referencing earlier, because she says that, well, because Roz is like, I mean, do you think I'm crazy that, you know, for thinking that Sabrina's a witch? And she says... I believe that there are weirder things in Greendale that, you know, why not believe in you know, her being a witch? And, you know, it kind of took me a moment, but I realized, like, she's probably talking about seeing and talking to a fucking ghost of her ancestor.
Yes. You know?
Like, but even she knows that it's weird, so she doesn't want to let Roz know.
Yeah, but they both kind of come to the same conclusion, though. So they've figured it out.
And Roz is saying, like, well, I talked to, when my grandma, and she's like, yeah, she called me a handsome fellow. And she's just beaming.
She's so happy about it.
Yeah. Oh, and okay. It's like, oh. Oh, so cute. And I'm like, oh.
But basically, what's happening is the severing ties.
I'm sorry. Ahead. I should say that was the big thing that I was talking about too earlier, where she was saying, I think Roz was saying that, she's kind of coming clean with her about the with Susie about the cunning, because Susie. I don't think Susie knows about what she saw with Tommy in the caves.
Well, no, because I think because it doesn't sound like they talked about what Roz saw and also what Roz is kind of shown with what she can see with Tommy. So I think Susie's been kind of in the dark on this one. But it could be fair, Harvey also doesn't know, because it's like, how do you explain to somebody? By the way, I touch things and I can see things that you can't. And brother's dead, so
yeah, he's seeing, like, he's you know, going through enough shit. You don't want to like add to that.
Yeah,
and by the way, I saw some girls in the mine doing something weird. But so when that's why she brings up her grandma. She's like, you remember my grandma was talking about the cunning. And she's saying, like, well, you know, I touched Tommy's hands and I saw something. And she's like saying, she's explaining the cunning and saying, I see things. And then you could see Susie get visibly uncomfortable and kind of close in on herself. And she says, like, can you see secrets?
Yeah.
It's like, I can't wait for her to be like to come into her own, because I'm
it's one of those things where it's like just waiting,
and I feel like that's the reason, like, where if she wasn't so afraid of her secret, then when she was trying to steal Orlando, I think that, you know, when Hilda says, I can treat you to it. And she's, you know, she recognizes her. She says, oh, you're Sabrina's friend, right? Yeah. Like, well, I can treat you to this book. And she runs away. It's because, like, she's more afraid. I think she's not so much afraid of being, like, caught stealing as she is, like,
with the book itself.
That book. Yeah.
Yes.
She's like, oh my God, my secret's out.
Yeah.
And yeah.
It's a good assessment. It's a very, very good assessment. And that's all I'm going to say on the subject.
And that's fair.
Yes. Because we've also got a couple of things. Because bringing back to Sabrina, basically bringing back the soul of Tommy's hand. And part of the reason that obviously it seems like Miss Wardwell did what she did, which is just let her, you know, let Tommy get eaten by the Soul Eater. And which I'm curious what happens when you get eaten by the Soul Eater. Like, do you just disappear? Does your soul go someplace else? Like, I don't know. But different question, different time.
Is it pooped out? in heaven.
Are you poop soul now? But Miss Warwell talks about trying to sever all the ties with the dark, you know, basically she's trying to sever all the ties that Sabrina has with her mortal life. And the last one is obviously going to be Harvey, because Sabrina has to go and tell Harvey who she is, that she's already told him once and had to erase his memory of the incident, mm-hmm. and that she tried to bring Tanya back and that he's actually a zombie and he has no soul. And Harvey is, obviously both very angry, confused, use words of absolute sorrow, and they're all going to be synonymous with probably what Harvey's feeling. And he says that he basically has to do this, and he has to shoot his own brother, or yeah. shoot the body. So it's very, very, it is a very, very heartbreaking scene. It's hard to put into words, because, you know, even Harvey like says, like, why would you do this? Basically echoing kind of like what Zelda said in a weird way, of going like, did Harvey ask you to do this? And Harvey's like, why would you do this?
And, yeah.
And it's kind of,
she
brings
says
back.
That she's going to take care of it. And he's like, how? And she's like, I don't know yet.
Yeah. And so Harvey does it himself. And
He says he wants to do it himself. And he's like, will it hurt him? And she says, I don't think so, because he's he's not really there.
Yeah. It's, and, you know, basically, it's the end of Harvey and Sabrina's relationship, as Sabrina leaves and you hear the gun obviously go off, and Harvey has killed his brother. And the one scene, it kind of breaks the tension, because Sabrina's leaving, she's walking out, and Dorcas and Prudence are still nailed down to the grass. And Prudence is like, is it done? And Sabrina's like crying, going like, yes. And I'm trying to imagine, like, just before she got up to the door, she saw like Prudence and Dorcas yes! stuck to the ground, Nick standing right? behind them, and go like, yeah, that seems about right.
Just all right. Walking yeah. in.
Like, yeah, she walks all sad, and it's just so, like, I can just imagine that brief moment was like, huh? And then, oh, okay, yeah, duh, of course, that's what happened.
I know you're not supposed to laugh, but yeah, I was chuckling in that part. Just the way she walks past them.
I do wish that there was that scene. Like, they had filmed it, and they're just mm-hmm. like, yeah, this takes away from the momentous thing that Harvey's, like, going to have to do, and her breaking the news, they cut it. But I just like to imagine that scene existed, and she just has this look of, like, the fuck? Of course they were.
I'd
thanks,
like to see
Nick.
I'd also like to see the scene in between that where Dorcas and Prudence are bored, so then they just start playing Cat's Cradle or like Patty Cake or something. Yeah.
Nyx is holding them there, going like, okay, now I'm getting bored.
Well, anybody want to play 20 questions?
Yeah. and again the episode does end also on a very sad note, but also a note that needs to be addressed is that Sabrina comes home crying, and Zelda takes her into her arms and comforts her like a mother would. And
yes,
that was,
yes.
that was a beautiful scene
on the porch. Yeah. And it was just like, I don't know. It was beautiful to me too, because it was like, they had some really harsh words, but it's like, but at the end of the day, Aunt Z is always going to be there on the porch waiting for her to, you know,
well, and even Aunt Zelda
her.
Says, like, don't come crying back to me when things mm-hmm. all blow up in your face. And still, Aunt Zelda's there, you know, to yeah. be the mother that she has always been to Sabrina.
And in the next episode, like, it gets much sweeter.
Oh, yeah. Which it looks like where we're at, we're probably going to have to cut it into a two-parter.
We're going to have to cut it in twain. Sorry, guys. but here we are, and there's just too many good things to talk about.
Yep, and the next episode is definitely not going to be limited. There's a lot of good stuff to talk about. So,
Oh damn it! But that means I can't share my surprise with you yet.
Oh, we're going to have to wait till next episode then.
Damn it. Oh, well. Well, yeah, maybe. I don't know. But, yeah, please listen, subscribe, rate, and review Bedknobs and Broomflicks, especially on Apple Podcasts. It helps other people find us. And, you know, on all those other podcast platforms. Remember, you could find Bedknobs and Broomflicks on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Broomflicks, B-R-O-O-M-F-L-I-C-K-S. You know, we're awesome because we've got the licks in the end. And you could write to us at broomflicks@gmail.com as well. You could find me on the new podcast, Videorama. And also check me out, as always, as Lila in Dispatches of Disassociation, as Patrice and Lieutenant Murphy in Coyote's Bluff. And yeah, Jane, where can the people find you?
You could find me Mission Impossible scaling an elevator to try to get access to my stuff because the elevator is broken. This is a true story.
It's true. Yeah, I can vouch.
Listeners, I'm trying to move. Moving day's tomorrow. And the elevators were out today. Both of them. And our stuff is on the second floor. I just had to laugh because I'm just like, well... Fuck.
Oh, I'd like to thank Doug Walters and Red Wire Black Wire for allowing us to use their song Compass. So just to reiterate, what are we covering next week, Jane, or in the next episode?
Well, we'll clearly be talking about episode 10 of The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, because of course we won't leave you too long. You know, without an episode, you know, we always come back. You know, baby, we always come back for you.
It's true. And, you know, I simply cannot wait. I am very excited for it. In fact, you know, I have to say, hold on one second. Damn it. I should have had this set up. Hey, Donnie, can you work some magic for your editing, please? Okay, yeah. So, yeah. I'm so excited about our next week's episode. I just can't wait. In fact,
I'm engorged with excitement.
Finally, I have my soundboard, and I was able to capture the magic.
Oh, my God.
That's Principal Hawthorne.
Oh, dear oh God. God.
I'm engorged with excitement.
Oh, I am going to be loving this one.
Oh, and I know how you're going to use that in the next episode. And
oh, yeah. Because it is from the next episode. So that was your surprise. Now you don't have to wait.
I'm going to go sneak into an elevator now.
And with that, what's that got to do with my engorged knob?
Kill your gorge knob. Slaughter it.